Good evening and welcome.
Good evening.
Great to be together tonight. Always fun to hear happy and excited voices when we get together in church. When I have the privilege of having people in the congregation that didn't grow up in church and don't know how to act in church. And so they act like they're alive. And they interact with me, and they respond to questions, and they make comments. And it's something that a lot of people that are traditional church kind of frown on and say, we need to shake those people up. And I look at it and smile and say, this is awesome. So bring your friends. Let's celebrate Jesus. Let's pray. Let's sing. Let's worship him. Father, we're so grateful that we can be together in your name tonight and know that you are present with us. And so we welcome you. Welcome. Be at home here. In our hearts, in our lives, in our gathering. We come to meet you. We didn't come tonight to put on a fashion show to each other or to try to impress each other with knowledge or goodness or anything about ourselves, but came to meet you. So I pray that you will hear the cry of our hearts. And the Holy Spirit, show us, Father, in fresh ways. Lord Jesus, we honor you through our gathering, through our prayers, through our songs, through our study of your word. Bless us, I pray, as we bless you. In Jesus' awesome name, amen. Let's sing. Thank you, Jeremy. Great choices. Who has a testimony you'd like to share with us? Some of us met this afternoon to continue to discuss job description for youth pastor and pray and talk about how we take next steps. So we'll be continuing to meet so you can continue to pray for us in that process as a congregation. I always think new things are exciting. Even though new things seems to be a four-letter word in most churches, it may not be. Yep, new is a three-letter word and things is, what, a five-letter word? Six. A four-letter word is a dirty word. It's a word you don't use. It's not necessarily just four letters. So, anyway. All right. Well, other than that, I guess God took vacation this week. I'm glad he showed up for a meeting. Let's pray our offertory prayer. As we receive today's offering, we believe you, Lord, for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, winding money, debts paid off, expenses decrease, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Did you do it last? You'll let someone else. Will you? Amen. Under his wings, in his arms, one place to go. You're my strong tower. Anyone interested in a children's story? Okay. I have a children's story, but that song we just sang kind of inspired a different story. So I think of my story for another day. That happened many years ago in the state of Kansas. And Kansas has prairies. You know what a prairie is? A prairie. Well, there are prairie dogs, and those are like squirrels that live in holes in the ground, big holes in the ground, in a prairie. No, let me tell you. So anyway, a prairie is a large open field that could be miles and miles, and it's covered with grass. And sometimes it gets really dry in the summer, and there can be fires across the prairie. And the prairie fires come very quickly, and they spread very rapidly. And people try to contain them and stop them, but it's very hard to do it. And sometimes they can't. And quite often, animals that are in the way of that prairie fire get burned up and are not able to survive and get out of the way of the fire. And this is a story about two men that, after a prairie fire, were walking through the burned, charred remains of the fire, looking at the damage that had been done and seeing what might be able to be saved or what happens from here. And what happens is, with a little bit of time and rain, the grass sprouts up and it grows again and it's lush and fresh, and animals come back in and repopulates and they live. But as they were walking along, they came to a prairie hen, which is like a chicken. Okay? I mean, it's not a chicken, it's a prairie hen. But it's very like a chicken. It's got feathers, wings like a chicken, feet and beak and stuff. And it was just sitting on the ground, like it hadn't run at all, trying to get away from this fire. And these men said, "What a dumb bird. Just sat there and let the fire come over it and take its life or not." And so one of the men just kicked it, and it goes rolling. And scurrying out from under the hen go six little prairie hen chicks. Those chicks, when the fire was coming, mother knew that they couldn't outrun the fire. She could have flown, and she might have been safe, but her chicks would not have been safe at all. So she called her chicks to her and plucked them and got them under her wings and enclosed them under her wings and let the fire come. When the fire came, it took the mother hen's life, but the chicks were safe under her wings. And so anytime I think about being under the wings of Jesus or in the arms of Jesus, I think of that story. And that mother hen that saved her chicks by giving her life. And realized that's what Jesus did for me. I couldn't get away from sin. I couldn't get away from death. So Jesus called me to him and died for me so that I can live. And I like that story. I hope you can remember it and always appreciate what Jesus did for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you give us examples in nature of your great love for us. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, You loved us so much that you came. You suffered. You died. You showed us the Father. You took our place on the cross. And through your death, your suffering, your resurrection, you gave us life. And we're eternally grateful. I pray for these children that they'll remember what you did for them every day of their life, and every time they're tempted, and they'll say, thank you, Jesus. Get out of here, Satan. I'll have nothing to do with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thanks for your attention. Pardon me for trying to figure this out when I got the master here. Jeremy, last week's is coming up and I don't know how to get up. So. How do I get out of there to do a new presentations? Ah, there, that's it. I got it. I should preach a sermon on perseverance after all that. My apologies for the delay. I'm showing off my technical prowess. Nah. You remember that statement that came out of, I think it was the Wayne's World movie? Was that in the 90s or the 80s? Or do you remember, Jeremy?
I think.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So it might be before anybody else here can remember, except Dad, and he wouldn't have known about it. And Pansy. Anyway, they were famous for the statement. They'd make a statement as if it was fact, okay? Like, the sky is green. Well, we know it's not, okay? But they'd say, the sky is green. And then they'd say, after a pause, they would say, nah. And so, you know, you were supposed to believe it until they said not, and then that isn't it. So I'm a technical guru. Nah. That's where that came from. It's going to come up again in the scripture tonight, and that's why I took a second to kind of play with it a little bit and hopefully give you a little bit of a background sense of humor about it. So John chapter 1. Verses 1 to 18. I've referred to this passage, I've quoted it once or twice in the last number of sermons, and I thought, well, let's look at what it really says, because I know I didn't quote it in its integrity or exactly correctly. So, beginning at John, verse 1, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Is that a memory word?
No. Yeah. So we watched the first episode of The Chosen from season 2.
Okay.
And it's all around this verse.
This verse,
like,
okay.
Not completely, but anyway, so our family was like, oh my God, we just watched it today.
Okay. Well, Pansy and I watched the first season of The Chosen. And if you haven't watched The Chosen, it would be worth your while to try to get it, get on it. And so we haven't found season 2 yet. We understand it's been done, but we haven't seen any of it. So, okay. So we have another baseball reference, okay, and it's appropriate since the World Series just ended in the big inning, in the beginning, in the big inning. The Word was with God. I'm sorry?
I said I've heard it 1,000 times, but I still chuckle.
Yeah, I know it wasn't new. So the Word was in the beginning, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So, you know, we talk about the Word. And if we read the story of creation, God spoke. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be trees, and there were trees. Okay, so God's Word created what we see. And the scripture tells us that it was out of nothing, that this creation came to be. And now we're reading, in the beginning was the Word. So it's the spoken word that God spoke in the beginning when he created the word that's spoken of here? Or is this something different?
Word was always there.
Word was always there. Now, this is interesting. In the beginning was the Word. Okay. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's how Genesis 1 starts. And, you know, God had to exist before the beginning for him to create in the beginning. Let's stretch our heads. Yeah. Boom. Mind's blown. Well, you know, our circuitry is limited because we're human. God's not. He's not limited by time. He's not puzzled by this. And so, you know, this Word was with God before creation, I believe. And as we read about the Word was with God and the Word was God. Now, I had an interesting conversation with a pastor who believes that the Bible is the Word of God. Okay, I agree with that. And then he goes on to say, the Bible is God. And I said, oh. So what do we have? Father, Son, and Holy Word? You know, or Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and Holy Word? Or I did ask him, I said, so do you worship the Bible? Well, no, I said, well, you worship God. So I don't go there. I don't believe that the Bible is God. I believe the Bible is God's word. I'm speaking to me. The words I speak, is that me? I don't think so. It represents part of what I believe to be truth. But it doesn't certainly represent the entirety of what I believe is truth. I couldn't stand here in one night and say everything that I believe is true. So, you know, I didn't go there with it. And I'm not trying to take you there today. As we read more about this, we read the second sentence says, he was with God in the beginning. Now, the word becomes a he. Do you see that? The beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So the word that's being spoken of here in John is not the spoken word of God when he said, let there be light, but rather it's a person who is referred to as the Word. And as we go on through this passage, we're going to figure out, I think, very obviously and very clearly, who this person is. Are you with me? Did I lose you? Okay, I hope not. If I did, please let me know. I'll try to clear it up. I'm sure by now it's as clear as mud. So, the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, the Word, all things were made. Without him, the Word, nothing was made that has been made. So what was made without the Word? No thing. I think we've been here before. No thing. Nothing. Okay. So who is this person that was part of creation? That was through whom all things were made. And without him, nothing exists that's here now. This is quite a person. This is God. Okay? He was with God and he was God. We read that, the first verse. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome. Are we starting to get a clue as to who the Word is? In him was life. That life was the light of all mankind. Who is the light of the world?
Jesus.
Jesus. Every answer in church. Jesus. Okay. Well, let's see if that carries on. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Okay. Jesus died on the cross. That was darkness. And darkness thought it had won. And darkness, party, party. Celebrate. There was dancing in the streets of hell, but there can be such a thing. When Jesus said, it is finished, he was put in the tomb. We know that's not the end of the story. The darkness did not overcome Jesus on the cross. Rather, Jesus overcame darkness on the cross because he knew a deeper mystery. That when a perfect one was slain, he would destroy death and the power of death and bring life. And that's what he did when he rose from the dead. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was sent as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. John. We know him as John the Baptist. Oh, not every answer in church is Jesus. Okay. So there was a man who came from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light. Who did John testify about? Who did he say? Well, we're going to read about it after a bit. But who did he talk about that was coming after him? What? The one who's greater. And who was that person? I thought I heard it over here somewhere. Jesus. Yeah. Jesus. It's becoming clearer now who the Word is. if you had any doubts. Okay? The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Wow. That's tough when the created does not recognize the creator. But that's the society that we live in today. Mainstream science teaches us that there was not a creator. We're here because of billions of years and random chance. Well, they have a great deal more faith than I do, because I don't believe that at all. I couldn't believe that. I look at what's around me and I said, there's got to be a mind behind this that designed it. And this is not by chance. This is tightly orchestrated and completely designed. So the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And that's Jesus. He was the light. He was the one who opened our eyes to see the Father. Nobody else had it. Hadn't come close. Read the Old Testament. Read what it's about. You see glimpses of the heart of God. You see kindness and generosity and goodness, grace and mercy. You see a lot of judgment. You see a lot of anger. And it was not a clear picture of God. So Jesus came to be the light of the world, to show us clearly who the Father was. We're going to read about that in a little bit too. And the people in the world didn't recognize him for who he was. You know, if the Pharisees would have recognized Jesus for who he was, pardon me, don't you think they'd had to bow and worship him? But instead, they were concerned about their position, their status, their reputations, their livelihood, above the faith that they professed. How sad. They didn't recognize the world doesn't recognize Jesus. They did. They bowed before him. If we did, we would bow before him. I hope we do. I hope we do. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive it. King James. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's the way it reads. He came into his own, and his own received him not. There's no pause there, or at least it's not written into it, but it's kind of fun to do it that way. Why not? It says the same thing. Okay. So his own received him not. That would be the church. That would be the Jewish people, in my thinking. Came to the Jewish people. That's where he came first. And they did not receive it. They did not recognize him. Had they recognized him, it seems to me they would have had to have received him. But he didn't fit into their box. They knew what the Messiah was supposed to be like. He was supposed to free them from Rome, sit on the throne of David forever, and reign and rule in Jerusalem. And when Jesus was not that political figure, he was not their Messiah. How sad that they put God in a box and wouldn't let him out when he knocked the walls off the box and showed himself boldly and fully to them. And they still wouldn't let go of their box. Don't let that happen to us. We can't put God in a box. We can't say it has to be this way or it isn't God. We have to listen to the Spirit and allow the Spirit to show us the truth and say, is God doing a new thing? And if he is, we need to embrace it, make room for it. Now, there's some things on my list that I don't believe God will ever change. There's one Savior of the world, and that's Jesus. So if another comes along and says, oh, I'm the new Savior, you know, I can discount that. I can say, no, that doesn't work, Joseph Smith, you're not it. Okay? So there are some things that I believe are ironclad, iron cast. This is God forever. You can almost make a box. But be careful when you make a box, that you only put in that box what God has put in that box. I can't add things to the box that only God can add to the box. Okay. Meeting in a building like this and listening to someone speak and singing songs and praying together, that's the way we do church. But if God moves us out of this model to another model and ministers to us in a fresh way, so long as it's God ministering to us, I better not stand in the way of what God's doing. Make sense? Persecution comes. Christians aren't allowed to meet in groups. We go back to what the early church did. What the Anabaptists did when they started. They met in the woods. They met in caves. They met in homes. They met under the cover of darkness. And it felt safe. And they baptize by pouring if necessary. So they can honor the Lord and yet live in the world. We can't have boxes. We can't put things in boxes and say it has to be this way, or it isn't God. They asked Peter about unclean animals and Jews and Gentiles. In the vision, in the voice, what I have called clean, don't you call unclean? Yes, Lord. Boom, there goes my box. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. If we believe in Jesus, if we believe in the Word, who was with God and was God, who was with him in the beginning and through whom all things were made that were made. If we believe in him, we have the right. Not a privilege, the right to become children of God. I believe. I hope you believe. Let's all believe. Let's encourage others to believe. Let's be children of God. Because if we're children, then we're heirs. We have an inheritance of eternal life. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. If you thought the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus, was only in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, okay, here it is in John. This is the Christmas story. This is the birth of Jesus. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. I love the way the Message said it. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Yeah, he's in the same hood I live in. He came to where I am. That's Christmas. That's the good news of great joy to all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a king, who is Christ the Lord. Amen. Amen. Those received him. He moved into the neighborhood. You have an extra room in your house? Why put him in the extra room? Why not share your room? Oh, there we go. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus came full of grace, full of truth. That truth got him in trouble. Because that truth pointed out the boxes of the church. Of the Jewish faith. And it showed how what they had in their box had no business in their box. Needed to be let go of because a new thing had come. The old was gone. God told them this, what was happening through the prophets. In that day and time, I'll write my law on their hearts, God said through the prophet. That's what he's done. We see his glory. The glory of the Word, the one and the only Son, came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me." John knew that he was in the beginning. John knew Jesus lived before he was ever a twinkle in his Father's eye, as we say. He said, "This is him. This is the Messiah. This is the Christ. Listen to him." That's what God said. "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And the Jews revered Moses because he brought the law, because he gave the law. He was a wonderful, great man of God, led the children of Israel out of Egypt through the wilderness to the edge of the promised land. But now, one greater than Moses has come. One who is bringing grace and truth. Jesus Christ. If you had any doubt yet about who the Word was, here it is in plain English. Jesus Christ. He's the Word. He was with God. He was God in the beginning. He still is. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. You want to know God better? You want to know what God's like? Learn to know Jesus. He's in the Father. He is the Father. He and the Father are one. He's shown us the Father. Hebrews tells us that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. He's not an abstract painting of the Father. He's a clear 5G picture, hologram, if you will, of the Father. He's so sharply in focus with the Father that if you've seen Jesus, these are his words, you've seen the Father. Told the disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if you see Jesus in the scripture, you see the Father in the scripture. The woman caught in adultery, when Jesus knelt down on the ground and started writing and then said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. Everybody walked away. And he says, where are your accusers? There are none. Neither do I condemn. Jesus never did anything he didn't see the Father doing. He never said anything he didn't hear the Father say. Those words, neither do I condemn you, are the words of the Father spoken through Jesus. There's no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus. We just have to receive it. We have to believe it. We have to come running under his wings and then let the fire burn where it will. Because we're safe. He's our strong tower. We sang it. Do we believe it? He's where we run to when we need help, when we're in trouble. Because he's the Father. And there's no one greater than our Father who art in heaven. Father, thank you so much that you showed us who you are through your word, your Son, your one and only begotten Son, who you sent into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Father, I pray that we will be among those who receive the Lord Jesus Christ. That we will welcome him with open arms and open hearts, with open minds, with open souls and spirits, and allow you to become our very life. May our heart beat with yours. May our compassion be your compassion. May our purpose in life be what your purpose for our lives is. To live for you, to honor you, to love you, to be in relationship with you, to be about the business of reconciling the world to yourself. Come, Holy Spirit, we desperately need your presence in our lives to make this reality. Thank you for doing it. In Jesus' awesome name, amen. God bless you. Awesome. Thank you.